Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Satterton's podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
Thank you. Cat said, I hope we can just remain in that place. So I don't want to take too much time. But I wanted to share something, I think, with what the Lord and the Spirit is doing this morning. Earlier this week, my meditation and devotions one day was centered on Psalm 128. And the first verse says, "How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways." And ever since that day, every time I meditate on the Lord, every time I spend time, every time I worship, he brings me back to that. And while so much of the world and even so much of the church is running after the blessings of God, he says, would you be a people that would walk in my ways, that you would be blessed? Would we be a people that understand that if we truly fear the Lord, then there's nothing else that we would need to fear? Announcements are in your bulletins. I don't want to take too much time. We want to welcome Peggy in just a few minutes. We do have the online Bible study, so for the sake of those who would be listening to the recording, the Zoom ID for the Tuesday night online Bible study at 8 p.m., the Zoom ID is 869-3414-4657. We're planning on having an outdoor movie night July 30th. And there'll be more information about the exact time that that's going to be. But we're looking forward to a time together with this fellowship, but a beginning, just like this week with the worship, a beginning to reach out into the community. I want to just take a moment then before Peggy comes up to pray for our offering. We don't pass the basket or the plate here. The offering basket is in the back, on the table in the back. So if you want to give to support this ministry, you can do that at whatever time is convenient for you. If you write a check, it can be made out to the Well. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you indeed are here. The word says that you inhabit the praises of your people. So, Lord God, we know that you are here in the midst of us. And we thank you for that awesome presence. Lord, we ask that you would take the gifts that are given, Lord, and multiply them for your use and for your glory. That you would bless both the seed and the sower. We ask, Lord, that you would indeed show us the way that we should walk. That we would walk in it, Lord God, and so be blessed. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all you've done, all you're doing, and all you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'll have Peggy come forward.
I see a lot of faces that are familiar that I remember from the Rock Church, and it's good to see you again. It's been a couple of years since I've been here.
How are you doing? Good, how are you? I saw you and I thought,
it's familiar, but yeah, so I wrote another book. I think I had them here the last time. My books are over there if anyone's interested in them. I'm not going to see my husband over there if you are, and he'll take care of you. While Kat was ministering, you said something. You said there's many rooms, and we want to explore all the rooms. And when you said that, I felt like the Lord said, because today the topic is going to be about joy. And so that's one of the rooms, the joy room, that the Lord wants us to explore this morning. And, you know, most of the body of Christ, we've been through a difficult season, haven't we? I mean, not just the COVID, but it just seems like everybody has been through so many personal things. And it's like, okay, I'm thinking I'm over that, and then something else comes, and then I'm thinking I'm over that. And it's just been the season that we've been walking through. But I believe that the season is changing. Hallelujah. And things are about to look different for the body of Christ. The Lord's been talking to me about joy for probably about a month now. It just seems like every time I get with the Lord, he talks about that. And last week when I was praying, actually I was doing housework, and the Lord was like, I kept feeling like I need to go get alone with the Lord. I had the house to myself, and I should go get alone. And I thought, well, I want to finish this housework first. But it was like, no, right now you need to sit down and just pray in the Spirit and get alone, because the Lord wanted to speak to me. Now, I'm going to be preaching at a Methodist church in a couple weeks. They would not understand what I'm about to tell you, but you all are on the same page, so you understand this. But I started praying in the Spirit, and the Lord gave me a vision. And it's been a little while since I actually got a vision like this, that I just got sucked into it. But in the vision, there was a large angel who came, and he came and was standing in front of me, and he had a chalice, like a big chalice, and it had like bubbling, smoky substance coming out of the chalice. And and he came over, and he just poured it on my head, and he said, "This is joy." And, you know, I felt a relief, and it was wonderful. And I know that was for me. But then I heard the words that I heard him say, it wasn't the angel, but the Holy Spirit saying, this is for the body of Christ. And that the new move of God that has already started, you know, it's already started. We might not have felt it yet, but it is started, and it's going to be big, how God's going to touch the earth and the season that we're entering into. And I felt like the Lord said, joy is going to be a mark of this move of God. Wow. And that as it comes, that there are going to be times when you'll go into the corporate worship service, and there'll be an anointing of joy. And it's going to bring people in, and joy is different. You know, it's not always ha ha ha, you know, like that. But the new move of God's going to, if you don't like that kind of ha ha stuff, you're not going to like the new move of God, because that is going to be a big part of it. And with that will become healing. You know, that as people just lose themselves in the Lord and feel His presence and feel that joy, that healing and wholeness and is going to come, and breakthroughs and strongholds are going to be taken off, and addictions are going to be broken off of people. And it might not look like that's what's happening, but as people enter into that, they're going to have that happening. And I felt like the Lord said, too, that those who are hungry right now to be used by God in a move of God, that's that, you know, you're the ones that's saying, I just can't wait till it happens. I want to be there. I want to be in the center of it. That God is, like He did to me, He's imparting. He's going to impart something to them, that they will be carriers of that joy anointing. Hallelujah. And so if you want that's exciting to me, I think. So, you know, joy, it's not always that ha-ha stuff. Sometimes it's the deep thing that you just carry. But it's common. And I want to just talk a couple minutes. I'm glad there's a clock up there, because sometimes I keep going and going. And I don't want to do that to you. But, you know, So I put a message together about joy after that encounter last week, and I looked up some things, and joy is mentioned in the King James Version 165 times. So it must be important to the Lord. In the the NIV, 218 times. In the English Standard Bible, 460 times. And happiness, really, in that version is only mentioned 10 times. And there's a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness depends on your circumstances, and joy is something that you carry. And I believe that those who are in the kingdom of God now, who will say, yes, Lord, I'm yours, even if I don't feel very joyful and I don't particularly care to carry it. You know, I'll be open to you, and God will make you a carrier. That there's something coming, that as we've gone through these difficult seasons, it's been hard to maintain our joy. But God is bringing something that we're going to be able to just live in a different kind of state. It's a grace that God is giving us as believers. And so this is good news. Hallelujah. It's good news. So joy is a fruit of the Spirit. You all know that in Galatians 5. And joy, this what's coming, is going to be the ha-ha stuff. And it's going to be fun to go to church again. You know, not that it wasn't ever, but I, you know, people have stopped coming to church because of the pandemic, but it's going to be fun as we get together, that you know, that to get into that joy, and it's something that's going to be a grace. But you know, with all the fruit of the Spirit, not only is there a grace for it, but we also sometimes have to contend for it. And so I just brought the scripture, Philippians 4:11. And it's about the Apostle Paul contending for contentment, but contentment and joy are closely related. So I'll read that. Philippians 4:11. I am not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. There's going to be there's a learning there. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned, there he goes again, the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do this through him who gives me strength. And so God's going to help us to learn how to live in this joy. You know, I believe we're coming to a place where we're not going to be so interested in what kind of car. As long as that car gets us to that joy place at church, I don't care if it's a Mercedes or if it's a, you know, 20-year-old Ford. I don't care. You know, we're not going to be so worried about some of the things that we've been worried about, because God's going to be first on our mind. Hallelujah. That's part of the movement, you know. I believe that there's coming a new joy of our salvation, and that's also a mark of what God's doing right now. I'm getting ahead of myself, but, it's part of thankfulness. Isaiah 61:10, I delight greatly in the Lord, and my soul rejoices. There's the joy. And my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. That's the joy of our salvation. And arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. And Psalms 51:10, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. So that's another key of the coming move of God that started. There's going to be joy, and there's also going to be a joy of our salvation. I believe that the Lord is going to start getting us to remember what it was like when we first came to know the Lord. And we're going to appreciate that again, because there's been a little bit of taking that for granted in the body of Christ. And as we look at our lives and we think, what would our life have been like if we wouldn't have had known the Lord? Can you think of it? When you go back to when you first got saved and you never would have accepted the Lord and just lived your life in the condition you were then, and you know how many years ago that was, you know, what would you look like right now? Where would you be? And it's good, and I believe that God's going to show us, you know, just what he's done for us, the salvation that we have. Hallelujah. And that's going to bring joy, because we need to understand that, because there's going to be a lot of people coming into the kingdom. It's going to be good. The harvest is ready. And if we are not remembering what God did for us, you know, we're not going to be able to have that contagious joy for them, so that they can see what they can have also. And so this isn't going to be one of those kinds of, well, we got to be serious. Now, I believe there's going to be repentance. There's always repentance when you have revival and renewal. But I don't believe that it's going to be a, you're going to go to hell, you're going to hell type of thing. But it's going to be, come in here and have some fun with us. And as they see that, I want that too. Well, you need Jesus. That's what you need. And that's the kind of movement that God's bringing. So, and we do need to contend for it too. So there's just a couple things I wanted to talk about, like, How do we contend with it? Contend for it. And the first thing we need to understand is that God wants us to live in joy. You know, God doesn't want us to live in guilt. God doesn't want us to live afraid that he's going to pounce on us. there's been, I guess, probably the last 20 years, have you noticed that there's been a lot on knowing your identity in Christ? There's been a lot of teaching on that. You have to know who you are, that he's Father God, and he loves you, you know, and it's unconditional love, and to understand that. Well, God has reasons for doing movements. Remember the Father loves movement, you know, God loves you, he's your Father, and all of that. Well, he was getting us ready for what's about to come. You know, we think, oh, it's a movement and it's all by itself, but God knows the big picture. And so he was getting the body of Christ to understand that he wants us to live in joy and love. And so we need to understand that God wants that for us. He doesn't want us to be unhappy. God, some people think God wants you to be unhappy. You know, they think if you're not stoic and kind of miserable, then, you know, live in poverty and all this kind of stuff, well, then you're not a good Christian. Well, that is, it's completely the opposite. You know, God wants us to be happy. And so there's a scripture, Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy, there's a joy, and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the Holy Spirit, so that you all can be overflowing with that. And so I'm getting joyful just sitting, standing here, but it is kind of coming. So another secret of joy is that when we are living in a life that is centered in God's purposes for us, that's a secret of contending for joy. You know, God gave me a kind of another revelation of a scripture that is well known. You probably all know it. Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You all know that scripture? Well, I remember, like, when I first got saved reading that scripture, and that was during the name it and claim it movement. Remember that? If you want it, you want that Lincoln Continental, you name it and claim it, and it's yours. Remember that? So I just thought that scripture meant that. If I just delight myself in the Lord, I can name it and I can claim it. And that's that, you know, I get the desires of my heart. But that, I realized I had the wrong theology there. And so, but the Lord kind of made this so practical and real to me, because I was thinking about probably 20 years ago, whenever I would get into corporate worship, like we were this morning. And you ever just get lost in the Lord in worship? You know, you're just worshiping him and praising him, and you just get lost in him. Well, when I get to that point of getting lost in the Lord, I would start to see visions of myself prophesying over people and sitting at a computer and writing and teaching the Word of God. And I didn't even want to do any of that stuff back then. I didn't have desire. But every time I'd get in God's, just get into him like that, and I would be actually delighting myself in the Lord, what he was doing is he was downloading to me his desires for what he wanted me to be doing at some point. So that kept happening over and over again. God was giving me the desires of my heart before they were my desires. And then now, 20, 25 years later, I'm doing the desires of my heart. They became my desires, because after God kept showing me that over and over again, then it became what I wanted. And, you know, now that I have that and I'm doing that, I love it. You know, it's what I desire. I love to be in front of a computer and feel the anointing on me when I write a blog or work on a book or something. And I love prophesying over people and doing the things that I do. And so out of all of that, I've got the joy. I have joy. It gives me joy to do what I'm doing. And so one of the ways in which we can contend for joy is to not to settle for anything less than being in the center of God's will for your life. Hallelujah. Joel, get that? Kind of put it all together, to be where God wants you to be, and be using the gifts that God's put into you for the glory of God to help other people. And sometimes people will say to me, well, I don't understand what God wants me to do. I need direction. I need a prophetic word. I need something. And sometimes what they need to do is go delight themselves in the Lord. And as they just keep getting in God's presence, keep getting with the Lord, he's going to download to them what his desires are for them. And then they can follow through, and they become your desires. And then it brings you joy. I just want to say right now to everybody here, if there's anyone here who's confused about, I just don't know what God wants to do with my life, just relax, because God will let you know. he will let you know. And so you don't have to worry about it. You just, you know, the only thing we have to do is just say, I'm here, Lord. I give you my life. I give you everything. I surrender to you. You have my money. You have my time. You have everything. Whatever I have, it's yours, Lord. And God will use you. And you will be joyful in the process. So, you know, whenever I was delighting myself in the Lord, if God wanted me to be a baker, I probably would have had visions of myself making cookies and doing, you know, if that would have been his will for my life. But I want you to know, in this time that we're entering into, that many people are going to really step exactly into their purposes. And, you know, so many people have said, well, I've had 50 words spoken over me that I was going to do this or I was going to do that. And they haven't come about yet. And that's been like 10 years ago or 20 years ago. Well, God wouldn't have you step into something unless a ministry unless he had not, he's placing the people in front of you to minister to. You know, and so it might have been that you're waiting for this time, but what I want to tell you is that it's time. And that many people are going to be stepping into exactly the purposes for their life that they might have been waiting for to happen for years and years and years. And there's an acceleration right now. And that it's a time to get excited because you can probably feel it in your spirit that God's starting to do something, to speak to you. Because it's about time for your destiny to unfold. Because this move of God, this great awakening, he's going to be using you in those ways. I think I told you this story, maybe the last time I was here, I tell it so often, but, you know, I remember one time going to a conference years ago, and there were like 20 women, and we were all standing in a prayer line, and there was a prophet there, I forget, a famous prophet, and he went to the first woman and said, you're going to preach the word of God all over the place. And he went to the second woman, and he said, you're going to preach the word of God. He did that to about 10 women, and I thought, if he gives me that same word, I'm not taking it, you know? And he did. He gave me the same word. And so I thought he was a false prophet. I thought, how can that be true? There's 20 of us, you know? But, you know, I was upset till I got to my car. And I was praying, and the Lord said, that word was right on for each one of those women, because and what he has in store, he's going to need all of them, that every one of them, you know, that God's going to use, not just women, but men, everyone. If you're already in the kingdom, if you're already filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, you are in a prime position for what God wants to do in your life to come true. Amen. If you have a book down inside of you, and 20 years ago you had 15 prophetic words that you were going to write a book, well, I think that unction's going to start bubbling up, and you're going to be writing your book, and you're going to be doing the things that the Lord has called you to do. Hallelujah. The waiting is almost over. Hallelujah. And so it's about time. And so one of the ways in which we have joy is when we are right in the center of God's will for our life. And it's different at different times in our lives, too. You know, there was a time when God's will for me was to stay home with my three little toddler children and be a good mama to them and teach them about the Lord. And that was God's will for my life then. And I was happy, you know. But now that's not God's will for my life. So, you know, when you're in God's will, hallelujah, and you don't have to worry about trying to figure it out, because all you do is delight yourself in the Lord, and you're be put into it. You will find it, hallelujah. So what are some of the another way here that being God's will? I was kind of went ahead of myself. Is to be thankful. You can't. You know, to keep that thankful heart. You can't complain and be thankful at the same time, because our brains are not wired to do that. You just can't do it. And so God's going to be giving us that grace to understand and appreciate our salvation in a new way. But that thankfulness is going to keep us in the joy. Hallelujah. The enemy tries to, he tries to take that from us. He tries to take the thankfulness from us. He really does. Hallelujah. And so, what are the benefits of joy? Oh, I can slow down. One is joy gives us strength. You all know Nehemiah 8:10. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to the Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, whenever the enemy comes and tries to get us all worked up and unhappy and take our joy, he's not trying to just, he's not, he don't care if we're joyful. He's not trying to take our joy. He's trying to take our strength. I got to tell you this funny story. I do not like mice. Anybody here? I hate mice. They steal my joy. And we live in this house we've lived in for 34 years. And I've only seen, and we live out in the country, but I've only seen maybe 3 mice in that house in 34 years. But 2 weeks ago, I was supposed to speak at a women's conference down in Hagerstown, Maryland. And it was a Friday. I was the Friday night speaker. And I had stayed for the weekend, and I hadn't been packed or anything. And I was just having a bad day. I had bad dreams. I was woke up kind of, you know, in a bad mood. And I was sitting looking at my message for the evening. It was around 8 o'clock in the morning, and I looked out in the hallway, and there was this little wee mouse out there. And I hate that, so I screamed, and it ran in the other bedroom. And so I hurried up and shut the bedroom door, and I stuffed a towel underneath where the crack was, because I thought that would, and I thought, I'm safe. And so then I took a shower and stuff, and I was drying my hair. And you'd think that the noise from the dryer would make the mouse go away, but instead, as I was drying my hair, I looked, and that mouse had crawled under the crack of the door over the towel and started charging at me. And I screamed. And then the mouse went in, and so then the mouse went in my closet. Well, I had to get my clothes out of my closet. And I thought, I can't do it. So my joy, I could feel my joy slipping. And I was weak, you know, it was weakening me. So you know what I did? I was stressed, and I thought, I wanted to get my clothes for the evening. I drove into Kohl's. So I wouldn't have to go into my closet. Well, then I realized, that's how bad it is. Terrible. So then I on the way in there, too, I had my mother's old car I've been driving around, because she's in the old folks' home in the personal care home right now. So I've been driving her car, and it's 20, almost 20 years old, and it was going boom, 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 and I thought, that's all I need. This is going to break down. But I got home, and I thought, I have to get my clothes for the weekend. So I waited till, I thought, I have a plan. I'll wait till Chris gets off work. And I made a list. I thought, I can do it fast, because we had to leave right away. And so he came home, and I said, can you go stand in my closet while I get my clothes? Because there's a double mouse in there. He said, whatever. And so I got my clothes. It was funny, because while I was gone, he set a mouse trap and got the mouse. But I was like, well, was it gray or was it brown? Because this one was brown, and it was about 2 inches, 3. And he said, how about if I save it and you identify the body? anyway, so then I got ready, and I got down there on the way down on 81. We almost had some accident, and then we went to Taco Bell for supper, and that's not a good thing to do before you eat, before you speak somewhere. Till I got up to speak at that, I was like exhausted. And I thought, the devil tried to steal my strength. You know, luckily during worship, I was able to kind of get it together, and I was like, oh, please, Lord. You know, but, you know, it's just, it's the way that our, you know, we need to hold on to our joy. Hallelujah. I should have been just praying in tongues the whole day, and, you know, I probably would have been fine, but instead I just kept getting one thing after another. It was just, there was another thing happened and another thing. And, you know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I believe that we're coming to a time when we're going to go into a worship service, and we can have, it won't matter what we dealt with all day. It won't matter that the boss collared at us and our kids were screaming all day or whatever. we'll go in there and the atmosphere, the anointing of joy will be there. And we're going to get filled up and strengthened to the point that we can go back out and be successful with whatever the Lord wants us to do. And so, whew, it's our strength. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Joy's our witness. Joy's our witness. You remember in Acts 2, how what happened when the Holy Spirit fell. You guys must know a mouse story. But when the Holy Spirit fell, it says that the people, they were together, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but in Acts 2, they shared everything, and they enjoyed the fellowship of each other, and they enjoyed the Lord. And what happened at the very end? In Acts 2:47, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You know, joy is our witness. And I believe it's going to be the tool that God's going to use. Because we've had too many years of, there's nothing worse than a joyless, cranky, mean old Christian. There's nothing worse than that. You know, but the joy, God, hey, I have enough time to tell you a story about some of them. You know, I mean, I remember being I pastored churches for 20 years. And there were some mean old Christians in every single church I pastored. You know, this one church I pastored, this woman, they called her the mean woman of the church. And that's what a lot of kids called her. And you have pop-pop dinners. And they start at 3 o'clock, and people would start lining up. This church was known as the Popeye Church, which that's terrible. And then everybody would work at the Popeye dinners, and then they wouldn't come to church on Saturday night, and they wouldn't come to church on Sunday because they were so tired. And I didn't like that being the pastor. It was 3 o'clock, and if people would show up before 3 to get their Popeye, they always put this mean woman of the church at the door. And she said, read a sign, 3 o'clock, we're not letting you until 3 o'clock. And it was terrible. And there was another woman at a church. When we first started going to church, we had 3 little tiny children. And one was a 2-year-old baby. And one Sunday night, we started going to church, and he had a rattle. And it was a real, loud, it was just a hard rattle. And for some reason, in the middle of the service, he felt compelled to throw the rattle. And it landed 3 pews ahead and smacked this man in the back of the head. And his wife, she was the mean woman of the church. And she looked back. It didn't affect him. He had a little red mark, but it didn't affect him. But she, you know, she looked back, and if looks would kill, I wouldn't be up here. And I said to her, my husband, I said, I don't want to go to church anymore. I don't want to go to this church. And so somebody saw the whole thing, and they came to me later, and they said, well, I saw that, and I'm sorry. You just have to ignore her. She's just mean. And I thought, well, I didn't think mean people went to church, you know. But I'd be amazed at people. They'd be at church for 50 years. They'd come, they'd get all the stickers, they'd been there every Sunday, and then they'd be mean. And I thought, what didn't you get? What didn't you understand, you know? But, you know, and then it just was amazing. So what I'm saying is, joy is our witness. You know, it's our witness. Hallelujah. And I believe that there's a coming move of God that even the mean people in a church are going to get it. And we're going to see people that were, you know, those mean ones, they're just laughing and having fun and the Holy Ghost. And so it's coming. There's revenge. There's revenge coming. God's going to get those mean ones. But it's our witness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I believe that as we get in God's presence and let the Holy Spirit just minister to us,
and get filled up. When we leave, we're gonna take it with us, and it's gonna be a witness. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And so
I saw. Is it Bob? Is that your name? No. Yeah. Whenever you came over to me this morning, I saw joy in your face. And I did. I saw such joy in your face. And I thought, oh, he's been hanging out with the Lord. You could tell you were glowing from that. So,
13 hours of worship.
I'm honest. I was getting a word.
Pretty much by myself.
Yeah, you could see it this morning. As you came over and said hello, I thought, wow, you could just see it on your face that you've been with the Lord. And I might as well give you the word I have for you now. Sorry, keep it focused on joy. But I heard the Lord say that you're a connector, and you know how to connect the dots. And that even you put together the whole thing. And I just felt like the Lord said he was just so pleased with you for taking that up and doing that. And you did way more than what you think. And that there were maybe not a whole lot of people, but there were some people very, very touched. And I just feel like the Lord is just so pleased with your obedience. And that when he tells you to do something, you pick up the ball and you do it. And you don't, it's not like he has to try to figure out how to get you to do it or trick you into it or set you up like he has to some people. But you do it. And there's great rewards coming your way for that. And even as you make connections, that there are new connections for you and new friends in the body of Christ, even for you, you're going to reap the benefits of connections, because that's not the first time you're going to be doing this, that he's actually teaching you more and more how to be a connector in that way. So anyway, so okay, I got to hurry up now. So joy is a gift to other people too. You know, when you're joyful, it's a gift. We were just someplace yesterday at a picnic, and there was one woman who came and sat with us, and she was like, one of those people that just was complaining about everything, and it kind of sucked the joy out of the atmosphere. And then there was another person who came who was just the opposite, and you felt happy just being around her. And so joy is a gift to other people too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So joy is, I don't know why God wanted me to talk about joy, because I hate to break this bad news, but if you want to be part of this move of God that's coming, you're going to have to limber up and try to be joyful, you know, because you're just going to have to take it. Because I believe God's going to take some people by surprise, and he's going to have some people that are set up, and they're going to get joy whether they want it or not. And it's not just to be silly, because there's healing that, like I said, people are going to get healed as they experience the joy of the Lord and set free. They're gonna understand the Father's love for them in a way that they never had before, and they've never been open to it. Because as God opens them up, you know, they're gonna become vulnerable to the Lord, and then he's gonna do some of the things he's been wanting to do in them for a long time. There's relief coming. It's like we've been under a pressure cooker. The body of Christ has been in a pressure cooker. And it's like you're just under pressure. But there is relief on the horizon. And that's good. That's a prophetic word. You know, there's relief coming. there's financial relief coming to some people. You know, the stimulus checks didn't do it. You know, that. But there's some godly relief. Financial relief, because that was like just a little bit of a trickle of what God has for some people. There's just even some debt forgiveness coming to some people. Hallelujah. I'm just going to say what I'm hearing. There's even forgiveness of a medical bill debt. I don't understand who that might be for, but I believe the Lord is saying there's some relief coming. Hallelujah.
there's some relief coming from pressure from some people that they put some pressure on you, and even bosses and people you work with and people that you live with, your neighbors, whatever it is, there's relief coming. I feel like the Lord wants you to know. Hallelujah. And so you can just kind of enjoy this new thing that's coming, but you gotta want it. You gotta want it. Some people, I'm hearing this, I'm hurrying up, but some people, sometimes you get so used to being miserable that it becomes your new normal, and then you think, well, change is difficult, maybe I'll just stay miserable. And I feel like the Lord's saying that's not the attitude He wants right now. He wants us to hope for something better. Hallelujah. To hope for something better. Okay. The last verse, Habakkuk 3:17-19, it says, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vine, so the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there's no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stall. In other words, though there's the gas prices are over $3 and when you go to the restaurant, nobody's there to serve you. Whatever, and all this other stuff's going on, it says, I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will be joyful in God, my Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'm going to pray for an impartation of joy in your circumstances, that you're going to see them in a different way than what you've been seeing them. You know, sometimes it just takes a little switch. You know, a little switch. I just got to tell you, there's times, you know, I've been traveling so much more, and there's times that I think, oh, you know, I'm nervous about going here, and I got to get up, and I don't know if they're going to even like what I'm saying, and I feel like I'm down, and I feel like the Lord said, would you just enjoy yourself? That's what He said. He said, would you just enjoy yourself? Just go. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. I sent you there. Just go and enjoy your life. And so I feel like there's an impartation the Lord wants to give to just enjoy your life. So can we stand up? Because I feel like... Hallelujah, hallelujah. So Lord, just like when you spoke to me, I had to repent for not wanting to enjoy my life, for allowing lies of the enemy to come in and steal my joy. And so Lord, today we just ask that you search our heart, and if we have any just attitudes that we shouldn't have, and just ways of thinking that we shouldn't be thinking, and it has stolen our joy, and we haven't been open to you renewing our mind, Lord, we ask you for your forgiveness this morning, Lord, when we participated in a wrong mindset. And so, Lord, we thank you that you forgive us. We thank you that you love us. And so we just come and we just say, we're sorry. We ask for forgiveness. And now, Lord, I ask that you impart to your people a new way of thinking. Lord, that we'll see situations in different ways. Lord, that we will have the grace and the ability to enjoy the good life that you gave us. That we would have the ability to enjoy our salvation like we never have before. And so, Lord, we ask too that you help us to be carriers of your joy. Lord, we want to participate in the new move of God. And so, Lord, we want to be those joy carriers. We want to do it. So, Lord, we just thank you for just imparting joy today. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. We just open our hearts. We open our hearts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania.
I'm taking a well, I'm taking a well right here. I'm taking a well in the valley of my weeping.